You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Elections are dominated by marketing techniques, the selling of manufactured images. Elections are not noted for serious debate about policy, least of all foreign policy. When no party leader would reject the platitude that we live in a globalized world, it's strange that silence supplants discussion when it comes to foreign policy. To discuss this, we've reached Justin Podor in Toronto. He teaches environmental studies at York University and is also a writer and editor for ZNet. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning to you.
We have five parties running for our election here. How many different foreign policies do you reckon we have?
The way I would put it would be probably about one and a half. The conservative and liberal, I referred to the past few years as an era of a conservative-liberal majority government on foreign policy. I think there are some differences between them and the NDP and the Greens and the Bloc, mainly based on their position. I mean, the central theme in Canadian foreign policy historically is subordination to the United States and participation in kind of imperial operations overseas. And if a party wants a greater degree of economic and political independence from the United States, which I think the Greens and the NDP and the Bloc do, then you do have some difference in that. However, I refer to that as a half of foreign policy because they still, all of those parties still still don't accept the idea that Canada could just be one country in the world as opposed to a kind of a special country that's Western and better and, you know, should be playing a bigger role than other countries and there is a certain lack of respect for sovereignty of third world countries, especially that I believe cuts across all parties and unfortunately also goes pretty deep in Canadian society as well. And I think that we'd have to confront that as a society in order to force politicians to confront that.
Now, are any of the parties putting forward foreign policy issues front and center in their campaigns?
No, I don't think so. Although I must say the debate, you know, I was flipping back and forth between the Canadian debate and the Palin-Biden business. And I did see some substantial difference in the quality of discussion in the Canadian debate, probably because there were five parties and because, you know, Gilles Duceppe and Elizabeth May don't have the same interest in spinning the debate and have more of an interest in, you know, being honest or being interesting than parties that are really trying to win the election. No, none of them put it front and center, and that's because I think that's partly because it's not something, you know, I would attribute that in part at least to the weakness of the anti-war movement and our own kind of weaknesses as a movement that we have. I mean, it's on us to force them to see that there might be some political gain to be had. The politicians are there to exploit opportunities for gain. It's our job to you know, to raise issues that people of conscience should be concerned about.
So if none are front and center, are there any issues that are creeping in from the side, any foreign policy issues?
Here, an example was, I think an excellent example and an interesting one was when in the debate, the program running the debate had an Afghan-Canadian man ask Harper why Harper had committed to leaving in 2011 Afghanistan when the job wasn't done, so to speak, and the Taliban had not been defeated but was growing from strength to strength and so on. And Harper said, you know, obviously as Harper does, said exactly what you would expect from the Americans, you know, the Americans to say, which is that, oh, we have to have a deadline so that the Afghans can take on their own imperial occupation, right, essentially, was what Harper was saying. But Layton actually, for example, deferred. Layton actually said, look, I don't think we should have been there in the first place, and I think we should get out as soon as possible. So that's, you know, that it can't be denied that that's a difference, and I think that's positive that the NDP is saying something like that. Elizabeth May of the Greens actually went so far as to introduce some history into the discussion, and she said, well, remember that, you know, the United States fought a covert war in Afghanistan against the USSR, and part of what we're seeing in Afghanistan has to do with that. So yeah, that crept in from the sides. What remains a taboo, I think, a couple of issues that remain taboo and that were completely not discussed, and I think that are of a lot of import in Canada and worth paying attention to for politicians as well, is the what happened in Bolivia recently, where it kind of showed that the Latin American countries are not following the United States agenda. Even allies are not able to follow the United States in impinging on the sovereignty of a country like Bolivia, and also, of course, the Middle East and Israel Palestine, and that issue is a taboo. No politician wants to touch it because it's very destructive to the careers of politicians, which is unfortunate for the Palestinians who are facing, you know, basically a genocidal campaign against them right now.
You mentioned a moment ago the comparing the Canadian coverage of or debate of foreign policy with the U.S. What are your thoughts on that? How do we compare?
Well, so I would say there are several reasons. If it was just a liberal conservative debate in Canada and the other parties were excluded on the basis of not having, you know, on whatever procedural basis that they use in the United States to impose this, their so-called two-party system, then it would have been every bit as uninteresting as the U.S. debate. But because we have a system that, you know, that allowed these three other voices into the debate, you had, in my view, the fact that all five got equal time, you had a debate that was a little more reflective, I think, of the diversity of opinion in the country. You know, you had three kind of left of center positions out of the five, and that forced somebody like Harper to pretend that he was less of a reactionary than he was on almost every issue, right? So that was, I think, that was all to the good. In the United States, you know, you have that very nice 2 hours during the debate itself, but then after the debate, it reverts to the kind of spin and who won the debate and all those very uninteresting questions, where they're treating it as if it's a horse race or whatever and not a substantive discussion of the issues, which is the same in both cases, right? So, you know, you look at the paper the morning after and it says, double bill does not disappoint, as if the debate was for entertainment value and not something more important than that.
Indeed. Why do you think it is that foreign policy is of such little importance to the parties coming up to election time?
Well, it's there are two, I think there in Canada, there are two real kind of taboo questions that in my opinion go deeper than party politics, and they have to do with our reluctance as a society to face, you know, Canada's role in the world. And the two issues are Canada's role in the world, Canada's relationship to other countries, especially the third world, and related to that, Canada's relationship to the United States. And then also the Canadian state and the relationship to the Indigenous people here. And so those two issues are related, and they're both uncomfortable issues for Canadians to face. And I think that that's part of why, you know, Canadians don't like to face them. And so you can't really expect politicians to confront Canadians with these. It would have to go in the opposite direction. And that's why I think that, you know, when we have an anti-war movement, when we have an anti-apartheid movement against Israeli apartheid, for example, against South African apartheid a couple decades ago, we were able to make these things political issues, and I think that can happen again. And I think that sometimes does happen, and it gets into the political debate in ways that we might not like. So even in the political debate of the leaders, Leighton mentioned Indigenous people and the conditions on reserves, but he mentioned it in this kind of paternalistic way. He said, you know, these conditions on the reserves are bad, but he didn't say, indigenous nations have rights to their territories that are not respected and that are being plundered by corporations, and they have kind of sovereign rights over this territory that we need to consider, you know, as we consider what the basis for this country actually is.
When you mentioned a few minutes ago about Bolivia and the Middle East being two areas that are not being, or that could be covered more, certainly more significantly, I'm interested in other areas that you think there should be significant debate on.
Haiti is another one. Haiti, for example, in 2004, and I can't say this enough, we do have some very good activists in Canada who have raised this issue, but in 2004, the democratically elected government of that country was overthrown by Canada, France, and the United States, Canada acting as the broker between the United States and France, who had fallen out a little bit over the Iraq War, and Canada saw that as an opportunity to make friends between these allies over the bones of Haitians and Haitian sovereignty, and that's what happened. Thousands of people were killed, the country was occupied by the United Nations, and the country is under one of the most bizarre occupations today. It's got an elected president and an elected government, but the government is so constrained by the institutions and forces that were put in place by the coup, after the coup in 2004, and ultimately those institutions that are constraining the elected government from being able to make progress are guaranteed by the United Nations. So it's a very strange situation, and Canada is in there, you know, training the police, Canada's in there upholding all these institutions, and there was a hurricane in Haiti. There were severe hurricanes in Haiti this past season. Thousands more people died, and the United Nations is not coming through with needed aid. The Americans are not coming through with aid, even though we've destroyed the independent capacity of that country to be able to do anything over decades. And we destroyed their latest chance of being able to do anything when we overthrew their elected government. And now we're letting them starve and die, and, you know, their houses go down in mudslides, and they can't do anything about it, and we're just letting that happen. And that's more than a tragedy, right? It's an utter disgrace, the fact that that wasn't on the table at all, you know, get a Haitian Canadian maybe to say, what the hell did you guys do to our country? It wasn't on the table at all, and it wasn't on the discussion at all.
Yes.
That's certainly
deserved of much more serious discussion at this time in the election cycle. What about the issues, foreign policy issues that should be discussed around nuclear weapons and the United Nations? Are there areas there that should be right out in front?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just in Pakistan and India, and it's an interesting situation in both countries. But India is trying to negotiate a new nuclear deal with the United States, and progressive groups in India were against it because for the non-proliferation reasons, but also because it will subordinate India to nuclear design. I mean, but the other major nuclear issue that's going on now is the kind of threats and brinkmanship and so on against Iran. And Canada is a major, and Harper has been a major force in trying to isolate Iran and trying to of course, you know, if you're for non-proliferation, you don't want any countries to get nuclear weapons, but the way forward is of course to start reducing the arsenals of the countries whose arsenals are in the tens of thousands of nuclear weapons and that are continuing to produce them at this incredible rate, which is, of course, the United States and then certain other countries, but mainly the United States. And so, you know, Canada claims to be a diplomatic, you know, the claim is that Canada is a diplomatic force, but really it's not pushing a diplomatic solution to this, to the nuclear issue, because it's not willing, it's all it's doing is acting as a subordinate diplomatic arm of the United States in its quest to isolate Iran, which, if Iran is further isolated, it makes the situation more dangerous and not less. So you have a situation, one of several, in which Canada's so-called diplomacy is actually making the world a much more dangerous place. higher stake. Well, climate change is as high stakes, and that's another area that's disgraceful. But at least, thanks to the Green Party and thanks to thanks to the NDP and at the debate, the Bloc was actually quite good too. That climate change issue has at least been raised, and Harper's been confronted for some of the things they've done.
Well, thanks for talking to me this morning about this, Justin. You've given us lots of ammunition for the debate, upcoming debates.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now. I've been speaking with Justin Podor. He teaches environmental studies at York University in Toronto, and he's a writer and editor for ZNET.